Proverbs chapter number 29, and then Joshua chapter 9. Proverbs chapter 29 and verse number 4, the king by judgment establisheth the land, but he that receiveth gifts overthroweth it. I think we know what that means. Politicians that receive gifts tend to be swayed, and he that receiveth gifts overthroweth it. Verse 5 says, a man that flattereth his neighbor spreadeth a net for his feet. And beware of the flattery, and beware of gifts and things. And flattery is rubs our ego the right way. We go now to Joshua chapter 9, and we see how those two verses in Proverbs are illustrated here in Joshua chapter 9. And as we've been talking in Old Testament stories that the Bible says in Corinthians are written for our example. And so one more time, we see an Old Testament story that illustrates a very important point and a lesson to be learned. In Joshua chapter number 9, the story is of the Gibeonites and how that the Gibeonites fooled Joshua and his people. I'm not going to read every verse, but we'll pick up here where Joshua and his people were fooled by these people because the Gibeonites were scared. They saw that Jericho had been defeated. They heard that Ai had been defeated. And now they're afraid. They don't know what to do. And so they dress up in old clothes and act like they've traveled a long way. And they get moldy bread and they get old food and whatever. And they empty out their canteens and make it look real dusty or whatever they do. And so then they come into the camp of the Israelites and they say, oh, we're from a far country. Because God had told them to wipe out all the near neighbors. All right? And by the way, that's because their time was up. And God had given them 400 years. And their time was up. And God was telling Joshua's people to wipe them out because of the wickedness, the ungodliness in their life. And he said, you need a clean house. This promised land is yours, but you need to eradicate the wicked that's there. Now, was that unmerciful from God to do that? No, because if you remember, in Jericho, there was somebody named Rahab that God was merciful. So it's not that God didn't have any mercy for any of them. But they were hardened towards him. And so the Gibeonites thought, well, we're going to fool them. We're going to pretend like we're from a far country, and maybe they won't kill us. They'll make a treaty with us, and they won't kill us. And so that's what they were trying to do here, and it worked pretty much. And so in Joshua chapter 9, I'm going to just pick up verse 12. This, our bread, we took hot for our provisions out of our houses on the day we came forth to go unto you. That's a lie. They're not actually just over the hill, and they got this moldy bread, and they're pretending like it was hot and fresh the day they left home. To go unto you, but now, behold, look, it's dry and it's moldy. And these bottles of wine which we filled were new, and behold, they be rent. And these, our garments and our shoes, are become old by reason of a very long journey. And the men took of their victuals and asked not counsel at the mouth of the Lord. And Joshua made peace with them and made a league with them to let them live. And the princes of the congregation swore unto them. Now, God had warned them not to do this. But they didn't realize what was happening. They didn't realize that this was something that was a trick. I'm going to give you some verses, and you don't necessarily have to turn to all these verses, but God had told them, don't go here. Don't do this. I'm going to read you Exodus 23:31. And I will set my bounds from the Red Sea even unto the Sea of the Philistines, and from the desert unto the river. For I will deliver the inhabitants of the land into your hand, and thou shalt drive them out before thee. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor with their gods. They shall not dwell in thy land, lest they make thee sin against me. For if thou serve their gods, it will surely be a snare unto thee. Again, Deuteronomy chapter 7, he told the same thing. You're going to destroy their altars. You're going to break down their images. You're going to cut down their groves. You're going to burn their graven images with fire. Verse 6 of Deuteronomy 7, it says, because thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God, the Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. And you're going to be separate. You're going to be different. He says there in Deuteronomy 7, don't make any covenant with them. Don't show any mercy to them. Don't allow your daughters to marry their sons, or your sons to marry their daughters. Don't do it. Don't allow this. And so there was a separation here, and that's how it should be even today, and not just physical separation, but that we would understand that there's a difference, and we don't marry the unsaved. We're not unequally yoked, and we don't appreciate their false religion and their false gods and the way they think. Numbers chapter 33, verse 55, but if you will not drive out the inhabitants of the land from before you, then it shall come to pass that those which ye let remain of them shall be pricks in your eyes and thorns in your sides, and shall vex you in the land wherein ye dwell. I'm giving you the land, but if you don't clean it up, it's going to be a headache. And so God had warned these people and warned them about this. Now, he told them, no compromise. Look at Leviticus 18 with me. Leviticus chapter 18. And verse 25. And the land is defiled. Therefore I do visit the iniquity thereof upon it, and the land itself vomiteth out her inhabitants. So God says, I'm just going to clean house. I'm just going to take care of, and I want you to not fall in love with them. I don't want you to take their Babylonian garment like Achan did in Jericho. I want you to know that they are wicked, and we need to clean house. Look with me in Judges chapter number 2. Judges chapter 2, verse 11 and 12. Judges 2, verse 11. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam. Remember him? And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods of the gods of the people that were round about them, and bowed themselves unto them, and provoked the Lord to anger. Just as he warned them, they were doing this. But this is not what he wanted. No compromise. Don't do this. Don't go there. Now go with me back to Joshua chapter 9. One way that they disobeyed God is that they just forgot to ask God about it. And here's what they did. These Gibeonites are pretty slick. They're pretty smart. They appealed to two things. Number one, they appealed, Joshua chapter 9 and verse number 9. I didn't read this one yet. And they said unto him, from a very far country thy servants are come because of the name of the Lord thy God. For we have heard the fame of him and all that he did in Egypt, and all that he did in the two kings of the Amorites that were beyond Jordan, to Sihon king of Heshbon, to Og king of Bashan, which was at Ashtaroth. Wherefore our elders and all our inhabitants of our country spake to us, saying, take victuals with you for the journey, and go to meet them, and say unto them, we are your servants. Therefore now make us ye a league with us. And so they said, we've heard about you, and we've heard how God is with you, and all that's very true. However, I think what happened is it kind of appealed to their pride. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. It's very dangerous to receive compliment and flattery, and to not think, why shouldn't a businessman give us a bunch of free tires? I mean, after all, we are who we are, right? And we start to think of ourselves as something. I'm just saying that, now, question, what did they do to win the Battle of Jericho? Nothing. God just went, and all the walls fell down. But I think if I read between the lines here a little bit, I think you see that, these guys know who we are. They know who our God is, And the biggest mistake, of course, is verse 14. And the men took of their victuals. And by the way, why would you even take the moldy bread? But they asked not counsel at the mouth of the Lord. They didn't ask God about it. They just took it without asking. Have you ever saw a really good deal that turned out to be a really big nightmare? You ever had one of those? You know, I got a no-brainer, and it's a big headache now. And it was a test, folks. It was a test. It was something that they should not have done. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Anybody can quote that besides me? Trust in the Lord. There you go. In all thy ways. But these people are already praising our God. I mean, they must be half Christian. Do you know the devil talks like a Christian? You know, he talks better than we do. He knows what to say. And so the sneaky, look, they're coming here. They came all this way. Listen, be careful about what you think looks like an easy deal. And they ended up getting fooled here. I think because they appealed to their pride. We heard of you, and we heard of your God. And boy, that sounds good, but don't forget to go talk to God. As we receive new members into our church, I've done this. I do it all the time. Well, why wouldn't they want to join our church? I mean, after all, we're the best, you know? But do you know what I'm saying? You know, why wouldn't that guy, if you're a girl, why wouldn't that guy like me? After all, I am worth liking. Be careful. Be careful. What are you doing? You know, we got some young ladies in here who are old enough for guys to be interested in them and to want to get to know them. And be careful. Here's what I can tell you. It's fun to be liked. We naturally like ourselves, so we like it when someone else likes us, you know? And I read this years ago. I might have read it in one of those Glow devotional books that Mr. Pryor gives out, but I read it years ago. He said, the preacher said, I used to be a young man. Let me tell you how young men think. They're selfish. And usually when a guy says, I love you, what he really means is I love me and I want you because I love me. And you make me feel good. That's not the same thing. And so acknowledging him in how many of our ways? All of our ways. But this is a no-brainer. I mean, gee, this is, you know, listen, ask God before you do verse 15. Because verse 15 says, and Joshua made peace with them and made a league with them to let them live, and the prince of the congregation swear unto them. Oh, big bummer. Big mistake. Now, what happened next is they just made something bad even worse. It says, if you keep reading, verse 16, 17, 18, it says that after 3 days, they found out the truth. After 3 days, they found out that these Gibeonites were actually just the neighbors over the hill. Oh, man, now they're all upset. What do you do when you've made a mistake? What should you do next? You should do what you should have done the first place. Pray, you know, ask God for direction. But you know, a lot of times we make a bad decision worse by what we do next. And here's what they did next, and they just made it worse. In verse 21, no, excuse me, verse, yeah, 21, the princes said unto them, after they were mad because they got lied to, the princes said unto them, verse 21, let them live. I'll tell you what we're going to do. We'll let them live, but let them be hewers of wood and drawers of water unto all the congregation as the princes had promised them. And Joshua called for them, and he spake unto them, saying, wherefore have you beguiled us, saying, we are very far from you when you dwell among us. Now therefore, ye are cursed, and there shall none of you be freed from being bondmen and hewers of wood and drawers of water for the house of my God. And so here's what I think they did. They just made something bad worse. I'll tell you what, since you want to live with us, I'll tell you what, we're going to make you our servants for the rest of your life. You know what the Bible says back in Exodus? It says that they were to treat their slaves well, and they were to honor their life. And so then chapter 10, you know what happens? The other nations find out that the Gibeonites made a league with them. And so then the other nations came and attacked the Gibeonites. And guess who had to go rescue the Gibeonites? The people who just made them their slaves. You attack my slaves, I have to protect my slaves. If they hadn't protected, if they hadn't made them their slaves, guess what? They'd have been, they could have just let God wipe them out. They could have said, well, we promised we wouldn't do it, but it looks like God's going to make our... See, they could have still gotten out of this if they'd have just let God clean it up. But instead of letting God clean it up, they retaliated and made it work. Now they've made a not just a league with them to have peace with them, but now they've even made them their slaves, which means they have to protect them. And so in chapter 10, they now have to fight for the Gibeonites. How many of you, besides me, have ever made a problem bigger because we didn't do what we should have done after we first learned our lesson? And so we didn't really learn our lesson, and that's why we're still making mistakes. So no compromise, and they compromised. Then they take, they don't take the problem to the Lord, and then they add and multiply their problem and make it worse. Now, is this really that big of a deal? Well, of course it is. You know what happened after that? Let's look with me, if you would, to Joshua chapter 18, verse 25. So what happened next? I don't understand. What's the big deal? I mean, the Gibeonites. Well, in Joshua 18, verse 25, when they split up all the land and they gave it to all the different tribes, in Joshua 18, 25, what we see here is that the Gibeon, verse 25, 18, 25, and Ramah and Beeroth and all these were given, verse 28, to the children of Benjamin. So the Benjamites got saddled with the Gibeonites. The Benjamites ended up having the Gibeonites in their neighborhood. So what's the big deal about that? Well, now let's go all the way. To Judges chapter 20. Judges chapter 19 and 20. We're not going to be able to read all this. But in Judges 19 and 20, we see some really horrible stuff. You've heard of Sodom and Gomorrah. Well, there's another story in the Bible that's a lot like Sodom and Gomorrah. In Judges 19, there's this old man that brought this man into his house. And in Judges 19, verse 23, these wicked men of Benjamin go beating on the door and saying, bring that guy out so we can know him, just like the Sodomites wanted to know those angels in, with Lot. And then that man said, you can't do that. And so, but instead he threw his concubine out the door, and they abused her and violated her, and so she died on the doorstep at the end of chapter 19. The man took her and cut her into, I think, 12 pieces, butchered her, and sent her body parts throughout the whole land to say, look what the Benjamites did. This is a gross story. But you know how the Benjamites got so messed up? Because they had the Gibeonites. See, this was a Gibeonite problem. And the reason why I know that is because God said, if you bring in their false gods and you allow them to live, they will violate you, they will defile you, they will destroy you from within. And that's why he told them to get rid of them. Not only that, but they set the wrong precedent. Look at chapter 21. And verse 27, because Joshua made compromises, look what you see in other parts of the land, what they did. Judges 21, and we'll start in verse number, Judges 1, not 21, Judges 1, sorry about that. Judges 1, and look at verse 27, neither did Manasseh drive out the inhabitants of the Bashan. Verse 29, neither did Ephraim drive out the Canaanites. Verse 30, neither did Zebulun drive out the inhabitants. Verse 31, neither did Asher drive out them. Neither did, verse 32, verse 33, neither did Naphtali. All the way through, these people are not driving out the impossible. So it's not just one group. They're just allowing all of these people. And so now they're just getting more and more mixed and corrupted and not separate like they should be. Now, as a result of all this, look at chapter 2, Judges chapter 2, verse 1. And an angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal to Bochim and said, I made you go up out of Egypt, and I brought you into the land which I swear unto your fathers. And I said, I will never break my covenant with you, and ye shall make no league with the inhabitants of this land, and ye shall throw down their altars. But ye have not obeyed my voice. Why have you done this? Wherefore I also said, I will not drive them out from before you, but they shall be as thorns in your sides, and their God shall be a snare unto you. And that's why when you get to chapter 19, chapter 20, chapter 21, it's some of the most disgusting stories you can read in the Bible. I mean, a woman cut into pieces and mailed and shipped out UPS to every tribe. And then these people so angry that they just about wiped out all of the tribe of Benjamin. They just about killed them all. It was a horrible, just civil war going on. Why? Because they're allowing sin and ungodliness in their country, amongst them, in their life. Not only that, but it was a thorn. It says right here in verse 3, there'll be thorns in your sides, and their gods shall be a snare unto you. Look at 2 Samuel chapter number 21. 2 Samuel 21. What a big, big mess Joshua and the people made. They were appealed in two ways, by their pride and by their feeling or their reason, their human reasoning, allowing their human reasoning and pride to overcome and to not get them to think and pray and ask God to show them what they should do. They just relied on their own human reasoning. Well, now in 2 Samuel 21, David is the king. And David is the king, but in verse 1, there was a famine in the days of David 3 years, year after year. And after the third year, David, he inquired of the Lord, why is this happening? And the Lord answered, it is for Saul and for his bloody house, because he slew the Gibeonites. You say, well, why did what does that have to do with this? Well, Saul, King Saul, of course, we know how goofy he was. King Saul thought he could just kill all the Gibeonites. The Gibeonites are just a pain. Let's just kill them all. Wait a minute, you can't do that because you made a treaty that you wouldn't do that. See the problem this is? Now, years later, David and his people are having a 3-year famine because Saul tried to wipe out what he shouldn't have. It's amazing that Saul tried to wipe out the Gibeonites, but not the Amalekites. And so they're just a constant frustration and a snare and a problem. I'm out of time. I don't have any more time to talk about this. But folks, I think a lot of times our problem goes way, way back farther than we want to go. We David says, what's this all about? Because Saul did this. But you know why Saul had this problem with the Gibeonites? Because Joshua did what he did way back when. And sometimes our problem might go back to even how we were raised. I don't want to blame our parents, but I hope you understand that we need to go back and see what generation steered us in the wrong direction here. And how are we so off track here? And how do we get back on track? And ask God to show us the root system of this whole issue and this whole sinful problem that we're in. And get back to the book and ask God to help us and help us get cleaned up. Listen, we're not responsible for what our parents or grandparents decided to do or, you know, generations back. However, we should do like David and say, God, what is the problem? How can we get this cleaned up? How can we get this right? And then on the other hand, when we're getting fooled by the devil and he's appealing to us through our flesh and our thinking and our pride, and even if he's saying nice things that make us feel good and rubs us the right way, don't fall for his traps. This is just another example of how that something looks really good, but it doesn't mean it's good. be careful of that. Be real careful. And of course, when God does something, it can look good, and it could be good. If he's doing it, it's good, but you just don't know. So you have to pray and ask God to give you clear direction. And I think Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says it best. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And the second part of that verse is so important. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. And so probably the most important verse in Joshua 9 is, verse 15, but they didn't, and they asked not counsel of the Lord. They didn't ask God. A lot of times we pray and we tell God, dear God, I like so-and-so, please bless that. No, dear God, is Sally Sue really the right one for me? Is Johnny the right one for me? Is this job really the right job? Is this school really the right school to go to? Is this where, what is the right place for me to be? Where? What do you want me to do? Show me. And I want to say this too. Joshua is still a good guy. And even if you have to learn the lesson the hard way, ask God to teach you the lesson the hard way. You know what I mean? If I'm too dumb to get it the first time, God, please help me to learn my lesson, you know? Please show me and teach me. I've learned a lot of lessons the hard way, but I found it's a lot more fun to learn it the easy way. But either way, please teach me and show me and help me not to be too proud to admit the mistake and to see it what it is and get back on track. And if you make a mistake, don't double it by then not asking God how to fix it as they did that night. Let's close in prayer. Lord, we thank you for your word. Help us to follow your word. Help us to follow your direction. Help us to follow your leading. I pray that we would have wisdom when it comes to these decisions that we have in front of us. Flattery and good words sound like something, it sounds good. We just have to trust you. And we have to stop and ask you to show us and direct our paths. And then when we do make a mistake, help us to quickly go back to you and ask you for direction instead of doubling the problem and compounding the situation. And help us never to think we're better than Joshua, because I'm sure none of us in here could measure to him. But help us to be thankful for his example and their example and how we can learn from that. Help our young people to make wise decisions and to really focus on what's important and not just what's in front of them, but what you have for them, and that they would be wise in their decisions. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.